Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis. Thanks for tuning in. And today will be part two of Peyton Gilliland's testimony. If you missed part one last Sunday, you can find that on our website, cotnaz.org. Click Watch Listen, click Hope Talks. Now for part two of Peyton Gilliland's testimony. We pray it's a half hour of hope for your life.
Then I fell pregnant again the following August, but I was in her care and or seeing her. And so she, you know, then, I mean, when you are pregnant and you have experienced loss, nothing else looks the same. There's almost like a robbing that happens of like, I don't know what it's like to have a pregnancy with no hiccups because I've seen them. And I think when you get a positive pregnancy test after having loss or having hardship or having whatever your story holds, you fear is very quick to kick down the door and say,
it's hard to allow joy.
Yeah. It's really hard. It was really hard for me to celebrate. It was really hard for me. It was really hard for me to tell anybody anything. And I remember, you know, finding out we were pregnant in August and then we lost shortly after there too. And so to have that, like, be able to walk through some of that stuff, like with her, with these newfound thoughts of like, practical things that I could do to help heal, but also like a depth that I was learning in my relationship with the Lord, allowing him to be with me, even though I knew he was with me, like allowing him to still be there and like me sit at his feet and grieve with him, like in his presence versus like taking it everywhere else or and allowing my community to just know. And not that anybody needed an answer or that they had to give me the right thing. They could just be present. And and he met me in that. So, and then a little bit longer of a season. I remember last November, I sat down with Pastor Kevin and he didn't know a lot about me. And he probably left that meeting like, whoa.
It was a great meeting.
It was
meeting.
Crazy. Yeah. I think we were supposed to meet for like half an hour and it ended up being like an hour and a half. And he was like, you're fascinating. And I was like, thanks. I don't know. This is just my life. But I had shared with him some of the things that I'd been navigating. And he was like, does the staff know? And I was like, some of them. And he was like, I just feel like they need to know. Wow. And I remember him asking me to lead a devotional. And that was back in November. And
that was for the church staff.
That was for the church staff. Yeah. And I was so nervous, but I remember leading that devotional, like, or time with them and getting to like read in scripture, but also give them like a testimony of like where kind of I had been. And I was still like, I mean, not that you ever like get out of grief. I think you just learn grief is part of you. And I think you learn to live with it, but not be defined by it. And that's kind of where I am now. But I was still figuring out kind of those concepts, and to find out next month that I was going to be pregnant was crazy. And it was a surprise. And I think that was one thing too, when about like, and I don't know that this is the case for all women, but I know for me, like with my fertility journey, I was very aware of everything, very aware and in tune with my body, because you're constantly tracking and seeing and testing and doing all these things. And it had become something that we had actually been working on in counseling to get me to let go of the control aspect of knowing all the things. And I had set some pretty like firm boundaries around, which was great. But then when December came, I was kind of like had gone the opposite. Like I wasn't paying attention to much. And so I was quite surprised when I found out that I was pregnant. And I mean, like 2 days before Christmas, got to tell my husband on Christmas morning. He was shocked. I was shocked. We were heading on this like grand family tour to go visit like four different sections of family all in like a short few days. And we were like, I mean, it was so early. And it was that, what do we do? Do we not say anything? Do we say something? And I think he told me, like, no matter how long we get to celebrate, we celebrate life. Yeah. And we celebrate this love. Yeah. And
good for him.
So we decided, like, we're going to do that. We're going to choose to celebrate that. Yeah. And it doesn't matter. I think there's like a stigma that comes with that of like, you shouldn't share until you're a certain amount along because you don't want to have to then go back and share with everyone that you've lost. But I think there's also a flip to that of like, well, if you're sharing with the people that are going to love and support you, they're going to love and support you in both places. Yeah. And so to get to share that, you know, with our families, like in person and with our, you know, with all my friends and stuff, like that was beautiful. And I think the Lord definitely gave us the courage to do that. And now I am. And I remember my prayer for so long was like, God, I just want to have a normal experience. I just want to have good health. I just want to have things fall into place. And I mean, he's met me in that too. And so now I'm pregnant and I have had, I mean, praise the Lord, a relatively normal experience, or I guess standard. And I'm so grateful. I have great doctors, great community, great people that are pouring in and
people to celebrate
us.
You when you're sick.
Celebrating us.
And when you're sick, just cheering you on.
That's it. Yeah. That's it. I've never been so grateful to be so sick.
I know. Us either. I think it's beautiful, Peyton. You've shared so well that it's certainly not, we have to remind folks, you weren't being punished.
Right.
God wasn't doing that to you, but boy, has God used it.
Yeah.
And the key was that you and Matt leaned in and let God use it.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah.
That's tough sometimes, even as a believer who loves Jesus.
Sure.
But allowing God to use the pain of that journey. And I've watched you. And not only has it been recovering for this particular journey, but it's been healing for a long-term journey, like even things from your childhood and all those things. And so I just think, what would you say to people who are in seasons like this or have had a hard time? What would you say to them about leaning in and letting God in the season?
I mean, I've learned like throughout my whole life, not just particularly with my fertility journey, but I mean, joy isn't based on our circumstances. Right. Joy is of the Lord. And that's been something I think that I have to like, that's like an anthem to me, like morning by morning, his mercies are new. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And every day might look a little bit different. And we go through hard seasons, but God is with us and he expects us to worship in both places.
Right.
And I can sing praise in the valley and on the mountaintop. And I think that, again, depends on the day, depends on the moment, depends on the mindset and the heart posture. But that's my active prayer to the Lord every day. And so I guess, I mean, I would say for those to lean into that and know that the Lord, I mean, he really is with you. And there were moments where I, you know, would be in a room full of people and I felt lonely. But I didn't feel unseen by God. And when I did, I think that was something that I would like, I'm telling him, I'm sitting at his feet. I'm grieving in his presence, knowing that he's with me and I'm going to be all the things, you know, I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to be sad. I'm going to have this grief. I'm going to mourn. I'm going to yell, like whatever it was, but I was doing it in his presence versus outside of it and then listening and sitting and remembering like how great he is and how kind and compassionate and also like how sovereign and like wonderful he is in that. And I think I've learned a lot about his sovereignty too, and even the peace that he gives us. And we were studying, my life group's been studying in the book of Mark, and there was a section, and I should have looked it up before I came, so forgive me, but there's a section in somewhere in the beginning where we were talking about peace, and the context of the scripture that we were learning was like, it was talking about how peace isn't just like, yes, it is comfort, yes, it is like assurance, but it was like it was almost like a battle. Like the Lord will fight your battles with you, alongside you, for you. And this peace is an active, like almost like armor for you. And that really changed a lot of my thinking when I think of like the Lord being peace in my life or giving or helping me seek and find it. Because some days it is. I just need a friend. I just need him to listen. I just want to worship at his feet. I just want to pray to him. And some days I do need someone that is going to fight, or I need to feel that security, that armor, that fullness.
What I hear you saying, Peyton, my devotion this morning was talking and reminding us about drawing near to God, and he will draw near to you.
Right.
And I think the hard thing sometimes is when you're going through hard things, to know even how to do that. And I think for me, sometimes I just have prayed Jesus when I can't pray anything else.
Yeah.
But that's still drawing near to him. So just in that, if I can encourage you this morning, to those who are listening, if you don't know, just call out his name.
Yeah.
And just draw near, because he will be near.
Yeah.
And then that peace, it truly is a peace that passes understanding. Yeah. And it can be present in your life when life makes no sense.
Yeah. And well, and what is it like, even when our life feels chaotic, like it doesn't feel chaotic to God.
Right.
Like he knows, and he has a handle on all things, and he's teaching and he's actively refining and growing. And even in those hardships, like, I mean, I always look back and can pick out things that have like evolved or that I've learned from or grown from that have then in turn done something to glorify his kingdom, whether it is being able to, you know, I have such a deep well of compassion and empathy and also the language to understand fertility. I mean, even other things about my testimony, like there's so much that God's taught me through hardship, and I've learned, again, joy isn't based on our circumstances, and hurting and joy, they're not opposites of each other. Like, you can have both at the same time, and they're not contrary. And I've been learning also this concept of, like, grief and hope holding hands.
Right.
And that's kind of the new, like, I feel like I was so, like, I just have to get rid of it. Like, you have to just, like, shove it down. But grief doesn't work that way. And I think I'm learning to live with it, but not to be defined by it. So I guess for someone that's listening, knowing that, like, that doesn't mean that it's, like, a happy thing. But I can have joy, and I can have hope, and I can celebrate where I am, where I'm going, what I'm hoping the Lord will do or has done in my life or the people around me, because it's not just my story. Everybody has one. But I can also hold space for that grief and love it and allow it to be present just in the presence of God, and allow him to speak and do more than we could ever immeasurably ask. Right. So, yeah.
Well, and Peyton, as you were talking, I was thinking about surrender. You said you had reached that point where you told the Lord, whether I have a child or don't. Can't imagine that. I remember when you shared with the staff how it just, wow, like we don't know what people are going through.
Sure.
And I heard you saying, and essentially, like, God is good and you have a healthy baby boy on the way. Not God is good because you have a healthy baby boy on the way.
Yeah, no, amen. I was going to say that. That's also been something that I've been, like, pondering a lot recently, too. Like, yeah, God's not good because I have, you know, this wonderful blessing. He's good because he's a good God.
Right.
And that's, I mean, period. Whether you have or you don't, he's with us. And he is good and great and is worthy of our praise, no matter where we are or what we're walking through. And I wrote this down in my journal a long time ago, and I read it. And I forget where it's a quote, but I forget where I've gotten it from. But it's based off of Romans 5. We rejoice in hope. And it says, the hope of glory does not contradict the tears that are flowing at the very same time of the joy of hope. It doesn't even dry them, not immediately, but our joy is unshaken, immovable by the tears. The rock of joy is submerged in grief, but it is not dislodged or ever thrown or removed. And I've tasted hard and I've lived it, but I've also tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And I mean, that's very true.
Right.
That's very true.
Right.
And
I think that defines the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Yep.
Very much so. I have a sign in my child's toy room that actually you made. You actually wrote it. And it says that, and it reminds me sometimes that regardless of what we're walking, regardless of what we're doing, we can have that eternal, hope-filled joy in the Lord.
Right.
Because of what you're saying, because of his goodness.
Right.
And I love that. And I think when you said, I read this sometimes, it reminds me that we have to remind ourselves.
Yes.
We have to continue to remind ourselves of that truth and that he is faithful, and we have to ponder. That's the word you used. We have to ponder his goodness in the midst. And because we don't just hear this story one time and then get to live that out for the rest and it be enough.
Yeah.
We have to continue to ponder and remind ourselves. So I think that's a beautiful, beautiful testament to you and how you have walked this journey. You've remembered God's faithfulness.
Yeah. And I think, and I've remembered where I've come from too. Like, I talked about this so fresh this morning when I was in counseling, because I went in and I was saying, I feel a little bit burdened by this concept of, like, I am pregnant. Things are healthy. Things are good. And I'm finding a hard time celebrating and being joyful for that, because I don't want people to think I've forgotten where I've come from. And for those that have not, they don't have, or they're yearning, they're desiring, they're longing. Like, I just had a baby shower, and for so long, I thought that was only ever going to get to be a dream, a prayer, a desire. And to be able to have that, like, it's challenging. Like, there's so much celebration and beauty. And there's also so much, like, conflicting, like, how do I feel? Like, do I still, you know, resonate with these, like, these women, these stories into parenthood of, like, those that they're either starting their journey, they're really in the midst of it, they're hurting, because there's a lot of that in our world. And I resonate with that. But now I also resonate on the other side. Right. And what, I don't want people to look at me as though I don't remember or that I'm a fraud. Right. And my counselor was saying, like, that's not true. Like, you have lived in both places and you can live and continue to be in both places for a variety of people in the different seasons that they're in. And I've kind of gotten to do that a little bit. And God is so good. Again, like, there's been so many conversations I've had, or just opportunities to not even talk, just sit and listen and make people feel seen and heard. Because I remember back when I was going through some of the things, like, there weren't a lot of women my age per se in my circle that were going through similar things. And I was struggling with that. And it's really hard to see other people get to celebrate and have what you want or what you're desiring after and not feel like it's a punishment or not feel like there's something wrong with you. And I had to really battle and overcome that just with a lot of prayer, a lot of practical things I learned in counseling, and choosing to believe, actively choosing to shut out the thoughts of the enemy and choose the things that were good. But knowing that I can celebrate where I am, where I've come from, where I'm going, and that grief and hope hold, they do hold hands. And I can use both because both are a part of me. And I can have joy and I can have hard, and we can, you know, continue to proceed forward, and I can love on those that are celebrating, and we can walk that life together. But I can also sit and remember and hold space for those that need it, because I remember what it was like for people that held space for me, and gave me that safety, and that comfort and that love. So,
Well, I think you've been so beautifully willing, and I would encourage others, and God will get you to the place where it's time to do this, but you've been willing to share your story and to listen already in the midst. And that's what God allows in our hardships, that they're not for naught. You know, they don't go wasted, because our journeys can be used for His glory.
And nothing has been. And I think, like, if anything, I mean, just making people feel seen and heard in that, whatever it is that they're going through, and then pointing them towards the Lord. I mean, that's everything.
Well, and I would say, just being your friend, I have learned a lot through this journey as well, because I just wanted to make the pain go away. I just wanted the, you know, I wanted to see, I don't know, I wanted to have an answer, but I think what I've learned, and so if you have a friend that's going through something like this right now, because I had not, that's not been part of my journey. That's not been part of my journey. So, but I learned through this that what I could just do is be present. And what sometimes you needed was for me to say nothing, which, if you know me, is a hard thing, but, but just to say nothing, or sometimes we just hugged, because that's what was needed.
There's an accountability piece to that too. Like, there's also times that I needed to be reminded, hey, you have to choose. You have to choose to believe that God has you. Or I needed that little nudge of, like, okay, you're wallowing a little bit. You need to remember who, like, who is on the throne and who has you in all that you're going through. And I, again, the power of community is everything. I mean, it takes a village. It really does. And I think when we lean into those around us, that's everything. So I would say, like, that's been a helpful support place for me. I mean, counseling, sure. I mean, that depends on you and your choices. But I mean, for me, it has been a wonderful place. I'm a processor. I'm that control aspect of me, that Enneagram 2, like, all those things, like, I want to fix stuff. And sometimes that's just not the timetable that God has us on. And so I think I've had to, like, unlearn some of these personality traits, I think, almost. And so counseling has given me a lot of practicals and also just a safe place to be human. I mean, my relationship with the Lord, the depth and the comfort and love that He has shown me about His character, about the people in my life. I mean, everything has been so wonderful. And even when it didn't feel like it, or things weren't so wonderful that I was walking through, like, I knew we were doing it together. And then, of course, my marriage. I mean, my husband is, he's everything. And he has seen me and sat with me. And it's not just been my grief, it's been his too. Like, it's a balance for both of us. And I mean, for him, I think, to love me when I couldn't love myself, and have, you know, even people in my life that loved me when I felt like I couldn't love myself, like, those, I needed that comfort. I needed that presence, and God meets us. I have a friend that just gave me this gift, and I get, I'm not going to get emotional about it, but she years ago purchased these. They're these, like, they're like little scripture drawing. They're like fine line scripture or drawings of scripture, scriptural references. And so she bought them years ago and wrote me a letter. It was before, I mean, it was right early when we reversed, really in the throes of some of our fertility stuff. I wasn't even pregnant at the time, but it was her belief and hope that God was going to do big things.
Oh, I love it.
And she wrote me this letter, and you know, then we found out we were pregnant. So she's just given them to me, but it's the story of Hannah in 1 Samuel and Hannah's prayer to the Lord and her pouring her heart out. I mean, so much so they thought that she was like intoxicated all the time. Like, I mean, she was so broken. And but in the story, and I'm going to misquote it, but she got up and she didn't feel the same as when she walked in, because being in the Lord's presence changes us.
Right.
And so she left unburdened by that, even though she was going through such a battle with infertility. And then the Lord answered that prayer by giving her a child, and that child is, and that's where that like scripture that you see all the time in like Hobby Lobby, that's like, for this child I have prayed.
Yes.
But when I hear that, it means so much more to me than just, you know, seeing it on a shelf.
Right.
And I think the power of her friendship and that prayer over that, like, and the fact that she bought it years ago and here we are now, and I'm going to hang it in my nursery above my crib. I mean, it is a picture of sitting at the altar and then her returning with Samuel. Right. And
that is beautiful. Yeah. And that reminds us as friends to believe and speak it and know it and walk alongside with deep trust.
Yeah.
Well, and there is no rock like our God, and he really will do immeasurably more than all we could ask, imagine, understand. Like, I mean, all for the power of his name.
You were talking about, well, joy and happiness are not the same.
Right.
And just because God has blessed you with a healthy child, that doesn't wipe over or remove the pain of the loss. You know, I think of the picture, you know, I've seen it before, you know, where it's like the mom and dad and they're holding the baby. And there's a picture with Jesus holding, well, he's got three little ones that he's holding that you'll meet one day in heaven.
And as I think, as hard as those, like those three losses were, I think I always, there was a part of me that wasn't sad because, I mean, there's, I mean, sad because you didn't, like, I won't get to love them on this side of heaven, but oh, what it's like to, they only ever knew love and the first arms that held them were the arms of Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, how beautiful is that? And so, yeah, I know that one day, I believe in that one day, he's got them under the safety of his wing. Thank you for saying that, Grayson.
Yeah, and also you were talking about how you felt like, is there something wrong with me? Did Jesus punish me? Well, that reminds me of the story about the paralytic man where they ask, is it something he's done or his family? And it's like, no, this has happened to him so that I can get glory from his life. And he's getting glory through your story.
Yeah. And oh, how this little one, I have a friend that, so many good friends, and I'm just so grateful for that. And that's, again, the power of community, of being active in your church and a life group, having friends that get it and know you and know the Lord. But she, I remember her writing me a letter, and she lives in Colorado, so she's not like, it's not like we can just go see each other all the time, but she's from that original Bible study. So if I hadn't gone to that, you know, get a free t-shirt on the quad, I would have maybe never met her, and that would have been such a tragedy. But she wrote me a letter, and she said to me that we have been praying for this life long before he's ever been in your womb, and how beautiful it is to have so many people and just people that were so sweet and so loving, and people that I didn't even realize were praying for Matt and I, that have been actively praying for us for so long. And this little one is so loved, for he's here. And I just, it's a joy to be a part of that and to have that for him and for us too. Because again, we know it takes a village, and I'm so excited about what's coming. And I'm also thankful for what has like come, or what we've been through to get to this point. So,
Well, and that is so true. And I can only speak to a small part. I'm so grateful to be your friend, but I tell you what, we are, and I just represent those friends, but because I get to sit here today, but all the joy, we can't wait.
Oh, and it's like a win for us all. That's like the best part. Like,
it's like a victory.
I mean, when I got to tell the staff, I mean, that was like, I had been looking forward to it. Yeah. I mean, for so long, it was like Christmas morning. I mean, just joyful to get to see their joy and their relief and their like, I mean, it really does feel. And so for me to get to tangibly, once he's here, be able to put him in the arms of so many that I love and say, look at this beautiful miracle that you have prayed for.
Yeah.
Praise only be to God. Like, how cool that's going to be. And I'm going to probably be an emotional mess. But to be, you know, held and seen by them once I allowed them to be. So that's another, like, for those listening, like, you have to let people in and let them love you. And for me, that was huge when I did that, to allow myself to be seen and heard by them, like, because they did nothing that I thought, like, I was so worried about being embarrassed or it being too much. And that was not the case at all.
Right.
And they have loved me so well, even in the hard stuff, even in the good stuff. And so,
and being that you're a director of a kids program, I'm sure that made that even harder
for you?
Yeah, it was like both. Again, it just depended on the day. Grief is so, it comes and it goes. Right. And some days it would feel like it was flooding me. And then other days that I would go days and days and days and I wouldn't blink or think about it or have. And I heard someone say once, grief is kind of like an unopened can of like food in your, a non-perishable in your grandma's pantry. Like it's been there a long time. But when you open it, it still smells as fresh as the day that it was put in. And that's true.
Oh,
I mean, it's really true. And so there are days and seasons where I could walk down these halls and I could love on these littles and it was healing for me.
Yeah.
And there were days where I knew I needed to take space and say, you know, I'm going to, today I need to just be in the office or I need to be with the staff. But there were also so many times where like the children and their families had no idea the impact that they were having on my heart. And I was, you know, rocking a baby a couple weeks ago and feeding him a bottle and my baby was kicking him. You know, while I was feeding him and like, how beautiful is that? And like, and knowing and just getting to be a part of it. It's just wonderful. So,
Well, and I've heard too, that grief is love that doesn't know where to go or doesn't know how to express itself.
Wow. That's beautiful too. I like to write all that stuff down. Like the front of this journal, I'm almost done with it. So I'll have to like restart. But like I will, when I'm writing in a journal, I will take quotes, scripture, song lyrics, whatever it is, if something stands out to me and I in, like put it in the front and I always read through them. Like I, they almost become kind of like my like mottos for that season or whatever it is. And so there's lots of things
that
I have in the front. And so I do that. And I had a friend that does that in the back of her Bible, but they're prayer requests and she loves to go back in and like highlight them or when they've been answered or just different things. So that's where some of these things that I've shared today, like the list of my uncertainties is long, but longer still is the list of your provisions. Praise be to God. Like things I have to constantly remind myself of his character and of his love because he is good.
Right.
So,
yeah. And just in closing, anything else that you'd like to share, Peyton, that we haven't asked you already or that you haven't shared already?
One of the ways that I think the Lord also meets me is through music. I'm a musical person. And it was so fun, like, to look back, 10-year-old me, you know, just getting started at church. Like, when I wasn't singing at church, I was singing at a fishing tournament with my dad. Like, so just so many things. And I learned over those years, singing is, like, what difference between singing and then worship and what that looks like before the Father. And so music is definitely a way that I feel cared for. And on my best days and on my worst. And so I have a playlist on my phone, and I call it Sad But Safe. I'm sad and I need to sit in that, but I feel safe because I know God's got it. And so they're just, it's music that's more like, it's like worship music, but they're more like not necessarily sorrowful, but they have different particular things about them that I just love. But there's one song in there and I'll read you the lyrics from it and then we can close. But it was one that like really rocked me because it came out right like mid all of the fertility stuff that I was going through. And it's by Mission House. You remember when they came here?
Yeah.
Okay. So it was like right after they came here because they sang it when they were here and it hadn't been released yet. And then I was on a trip with you in Pennsylvania and they released it. And I was
oh my gosh.
But it's called Jesus Is. And it's by, I mean, Paper Horses, which is like another band that they have together. But the words of it are just so beautiful and they remind me often. So I'll read it because it may touch someone that's listening. But it says, I may be troubled and full of care, but I'm not broken beyond repair. When I am worried, I cling to this. I am no savior, but Jesus is. I may be walking the road of pain, but he will guide me along the way. So I'll keep singing, because even if I am no shepherd, Jesus is. It further goes down to, this is the verse that really got me. I may be lonely without a friend, but I will carry my heart to him, for he knows my sorrow, my grief is his. I am no healer, but Jesus is. My eyes are weary and the nights are long, but I'll wait for Jesus until he comes to reign forever, world without end. I'm not so patient, but Jesus is. Jesus is. Jesus is. So I'll keep waiting like Jesus did. He'll reign forever, world without end. I'm not so patient, but Jesus is. And I love so many different reasons why I love that song. But I think there's just such beauty in remembering that He is our Savior. He is our Shepherd. He is our Healer. And He will reign forever without end. That again, that grief and that hope that holds us for the tomorrow because we know that at the end of the day, He has it. The whole world in His hands and we're included in that. Hurts, joys, celebrations. I mean, all of it. He's got it.
Amen. Peyton, that reminds me of the YouVersion verse of the day today that I read this morning, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you.
I read that too.
Me too.
I read that while I was brushing my teeth. That's awesome.
Peyton, it's been great to have you today and to hear your testimony. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. Yeah. It was wonderful.
You, love you.
Yeah. Angela, thank you for joining us also.
Yeah. Thanks for letting me, Grayson. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I pray that as you've heard Peyton Gilliland's testimony today, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.